You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hello and welcome to this week's Dublin to Denver podcast. I am Colm Cronin and I am delighted to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Stuart Roach. Stuart, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing C-, Colm, if I had to put a rating on it, which ironically is how I would grade the Denver Broncos off-season moves up to this point. I'm doing okay. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we had been told it was going to be quiet. We'd been told that we weren't going to be really involved in the first wave of free agency. We have signed a couple of players. We'll get into that a little bit later on. But it's been probably the way we expected it to be. But I guess, you know, when you see other teams making splashes, you cannot help but be sales. But, you know, I think for me, Colm, I suppose the big story was the post-June designation for Russell Wilson's cut. I think that was a fairly significant moment. So I'm okay. I probably expected something slightly different to happen. I'm still hugely surprised by the fact that Justin Fields is still a Bear. And I do think that's going to have an impact on the Broncos and Broncos plans at 12. But again, we'll get into it. But yeah, I'm okay. A little underwhelmed, which is probably what I expected to be. But when the underwhelming arrives, Colm, you can't help but be slightly disappointed.
The news that Drew Locke would not be returning was about the best thing that happened since the Super Bowl. I still cannot believe there are Drew Locke truthers out there. I point once again to the fact that he didn't wear a mask, lied about not wearing a mask, had his mother lie about him not wearing a mask, and was too dumb to realize that it was all caught on camera. That was all out there. So that's the level of intelligence you are dealing with there. In terms of how quiet it has been, look, to me, Stuart, I suppose it's the unfortunate timing of it, but this is what the Broncos should have done years ago. This has been years in the making. And I would again encourage people to, I get it as fans, but there were analysts out there who tried to tell you for years that the Broncos were a QB away, or it was going to happen next season, or Jerry Jeudy was going to have a breakout year, or it was going to be when we brought in Case Keenum, or whatever it happened to be. I mean, we kicked the can, And ultimately, when you don't draft a QB high, then you end up in this situation. Like, what ultimately is your off ramp? And the Broncos have had the worst of all worlds in that they now say, you know, drafting at 12, and they have all the cap hit to deal with. They have given away a huge number of picks. So to me, to be honest, what I would have, given the way this has played out, I nearly would have preferred us to punt on the entirety of 2024 in some ways. But we're not doing that. We're taking the bigger chunk of the Russ dead cap money this year. There'll be some next year. But they couldn't do that, I would argue, because ultimately they had decided earlier to raise ticket prices. And so the fact that they had done that meant they have to endeavor to try to get fans excited about what is to come. But this is a team that are incredibly difficult to get excited about. You know, that to me, there's no quarterback on the team currently. Our receivers are extraordinarily limited. I think that we are limited at tight end. I think that we have one blue chip player on the entirety of the roster in Pat Surtain. And I look at, and there are nice pieces, but I think that we have probably even overvalued how good our pieces are, given how slow other teams were to really bring them in when they hit the open market. So I still wonder, you know, ultimately what are they going to do? Because looking at the way in which free agency has played out this week, Stuart, the Vikings are going to take QB. Sam Darnold is not their answer. They have him on a 1 year, $10 million deal. And we know that they are going to take QB. I think the Patriots moves tell you that they're going to take a quarterback. So you're talking about 1, 2, 3, I believe, being quarterbacks. I don't believe for a second that the Bears are going to keep Justin Fields. I think you saw what the market was for him out there. But with 1, 2, 3 off the board, with the Vikings, you know, needing to go up, and they are not in the position that we're in, where they've given away picks in the past. They're probably in a better position, but does what has transpired over the last week in free agency suggest to you that the Broncos are going to be super aggressive in the draft to go up? Or do you think that they're just going to take whoever happens to be there, which realistically at this point looks like, if they remain where they are, that will be the fifth QB off the board?
I think, I don't know how aggressive we can be, Colm, given our recent history where we've given away everything we've had for, you know, a quarterback that hasn't played out. And then, you know, we managed to get a pick for Bradley Chubb, which we gave away for Sean Payton. You know, so I don't know how much ammunition we have to play with. I do think, Colm, that, you know, like you've pointed this out in the past, the draft positions that we've had over the last, certainly the latter part of the last decade, to not come away with the franchise quarterback is diabolically bad. And, you know, I think the fact that we're at 12, you are within striking distance of a team, maybe say 7th or 8th. You have to give up something significant. You're going to have to give up something from next year, probably. But I do think if you want a quarterback, if you're really sold on JJ McCarthy, then what's the point in kicking the can down the road, Colm? Eventually you have to do this. And I do think that now there seems to be more and more reports going out, oh, the Broncos are just hopping up the tank the season and they've got to get the quarterback in 2025. I mean, this is just mind-boggling for a number of reasons. The quarterback class in 2025 is nowhere near as talented as this one. Like, J.J. McCarthy would be the unquestioned number one draft pick next year if J.J. McCarthy had stayed in school for another year. J.J. McCarthy is better than Shandor Sanders, who I think Broncos fans have fallen in love with because he plays in Colorado. J.J. McCarthy is a better quarterback than Sanders. That's not even remotely open to debate. And Sanders is probably the best of the lot next year. So, look, to me, Colm, I think either you go up past the Vikings, and I think there is a trade partner there potentially in the Falcons, who have now removed themselves from the quarterback race because they've taken Kirk Cousins on a multi-year deal, which was something of a surprise. Although, you know, the rumor had been building in the last couple of days leading up to free agency, so it's not a massive surprise, I suppose. I just think, how long do you put this off for, Colm? Eventually, you have to roll the dice. Eventually, you have to pull the trigger. You have to try. The only thing, to me, that's going to... And you made a good point, Colm, about the ticket prices going up. The only thing that's going to move the dial in regards to get the Broncos even remotely exciting next year is if there's a young QB that fans can get behind. There's nothing else. Like, what... I mean, can you even get... Like, articles recently dropping, no, should the Broncos trade for Justin Fields? I mean, this should have you turn your hair out. What little I have left... You've got more than me, Ethan. You're a younger man, but you'll face these. No, but Justin Fields, I think, has had something of a rough deal in Chicago. I thought he played better last year. But we've just seen what happens when Sean Payton meets a quarterback that doesn't go through his progressions and likes to play off schedule. It doesn't work. This is just bonkers that people are coming out with this stuff now. Justin Fields is the last quarterback, apart from, ironically, Russell Wilson, that Sean Payton would want anything to do with. You need to go and get a quarterback. My concern, my slight concern with the offseason, Colm, because there hasn't really been a move that I've disagreed with. My slight concern is I think you need to give a rookie QB. Let's say they decide to go for Bo Nix. Let's say they stay where they are. They might be able to trade back a couple of spots because Bo Nix, the only other fear you'd have is the Raiders and maybe somebody jumping up and grabbing Nix. You should be able to get Nix around the 20, 21, 22 position in the draft, Colm. My worry would be you're not doing very much to help the rookie next year. So you could be, in effect, throwing them to the wolves. And I'm not sure that's the best way for a rookie to thrive. You know, like years ago, Colm, this is more to do with football, but and it seems really basic. But it's a fact of life. The idea of a transfer window in football, Colm, is to come out a bit stronger than what you went into it with. Again, as I say, it seems really straightforward. It seems very basic. It's almost like, well, everybody knows that. But some teams don't do that. And then you wonder why they struggle. At the moment, the Broncos are considerably weaker than they were going into the offseason. And now, this is with the caveat that the draft is to follow and free agency isn't over. But, Colm, like, one of our moves being up to this point, we brought back Michael Burton, who's a decent fullback. Okay, the tight end room was already pretty mediocre. We brought back Troutman. I mean, like, really? Great? I mean, what's Troutman going to do? Troutman was no threat whatsoever vertically last season. We've let Jerry Jeudy go. We'll come to Jerry Jeudy in a minute. We brought back little Jordan Humphreys. Like, how is this effectively going to help a Bo Nix or a J.J. McCarthy if you decide to move up? The running game is still not, you know, has plateaued. We've got Pirine, we've got Javonte Williams, who's a shadow of his former self, and we've got McLaughlin. There's nothing else there. I know it's a good draft class for running backs, and it is a good draft class for wide receivers, but at the moment, Colm, we don't have an awful lot of draft capital. We've got loads of draft capital down the arse end of the draft now, thanks to our blockbuster. Sorry, that moved us from under 12s to under 15s. But I'm just slightly surprised, Colm, in the sense that there is some value out there. We could pick up a veteran running back. We could pick up a tight end that isn't Troutman. And we seem to have prioritized bringing back a lot of our own in-house free agents. But this is a team that really didn't do much last year, apart from sort of a historic defensive run in the middle of the season, which was fool's gold. I would like us, if the plan is to get a rookie QB call, which it really, really has to be, and I do think the only thing that's kind of given me a little bit of hope on that score is the fact that we haven't gone out and got involved in a bidding war for Sam Darnold. We backed away from that. A lot of the other bridge QBs or veteran QBs, you know, the Brissettes, the Joe Flaccos, we haven't really had any major interest in any of them. But my fear is if we do go for a rookie, a JJ McCarthy, a Bo Nix, a Michael Penix, we're not doing an awful lot to help them as we stand here right now. I do think that can change. But I would like to see us. We do have some money. We did, credit where credit's due, Colin, like the front office was able to get us out of cap hell to a point. So we do have a little bit of money to play around with. I would like us to do something with it that can help this young QB we were all presuming is coming in, to make his life that little bit easier in the first year, because as we know, most rookie QBs struggle first year. So I'm slightly disappointed that we haven't done something to help whoever that QB is going to be.
Yeah, well, but I suppose I'll just to look at, this is where I think it becomes tricky, because as you said, like you got to go up, and what if you go up, what ammunition do you have? And if you stay pat, right, let me talk you through QB5s over the last little while, Stuart, okay? So last year, QB5 was Hendon Hooker, who went in the third round to the Lions. The year before that, the fifth QB off the board, Bailey Zappi, who went in the fourth round to the Patriots. The year after that is interesting, because QB5 did go in the first round. Who was that? Mac Jones to the Patriots. The year before that, if you're to have hope, this might give you some. Jalen Hurts was the fifth QB off the board, but Jalen Hurts didn't go until round two. The year before that, Will Greer went to the Panthers. he's somebody who people tried to hype at one point. He went in the third round. And this is the one, I suppose, if you're to look at this, this is interesting. No, the fifth QB off the board the year prior to that was Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, who went at the very end of the first round to the Ravens. Prior to that, it's our QB coach, Davis Webb, who went in the third round. Jacoby Brissett went in the third round. Bryce Petty went to the Jets in the fourth round. Jimmy Garoppolo went to the Patriots in the second. Ryan Nassib went to the Giants in the fourth. And Brock Osweiler was the fifth quarterback off the board. So QB5, you've got what? Jalen Hurts and Lamar Jackson are the only guys who, you know, and Lamar obviously had probably head and shoulders. We're going to see, it'd be interesting for Hurts to see, can he have a bounce back year? Last year not helped, you know, given they moved off of the coordinator and things imploded there. But taking the fifth QB at 12 would be record breaking. Again, it seeks to you know, where the Broncos, this is the issue where they find them, the, you know, themselves with those wins against the Packers, the Bills, and the Vikings in particular, really coming to haunt us. You know, you'd have to wonder if you're at 12 and you have to bring a young guy in, but like, can you really do it at 12? I mean, that is going to be record breaking. Mac Jones has left the Patriots, and I know they messed up obviously his development after a good first year, but if yet to take QB5 with the 12th pick, all things can happen. We know that. We know, obviously, all too well, it's talked about Tom Brady where he went, Brock Purdy where he went. But 12 QB5, too rich?
It might be. I mean, I do think there's a couple of things, Colin. Like, it depends on the year. I mean, by all accounts, this QB class is the same as the one that Lamar was picked fifth in. Fifth QB in. This is the strongest QB class we've had in quite some time. And so you might have a guy like Bo Nix could be QB2 next year if he was out next year. He could have been QB2 last year. Michael Penix could be QB3 next year. I think with Penix and Nick's column, I do think there is an opportunity to trade back a little bit. One of the reasons why I think you could do that is that there are teams that are going to be in need of cornerbacks. And given the way the draft looks like it's going to shake out, there could be some... You could be in a position where if you're at pick 12, you could probably get the first cornerback off the board. That's not particularly appealing to us. Certainly not appealing to you, my friend, given your opinions on franchise cornerbacks. But a team that is in need, if they feel like a cornerback is a piece that they are desperately in need of, I think you would have willing trade partners, Colin, for the 12th pick. You know, because it does seem like quarterback and offensive tackle and wide receiver are going to be the sort of the top 10 is going to shake a lot of those guys out. So I think you would have no issue getting a willing trade partner, say from 18, 19, 20. And then I think a Bo Nix or maybe a Penix is more palatable around that sort of draft range. You need to be careful though, Colin, because all it takes is, you know, somebody to then jump ahead of you again. So then you're not even in a position to get the fifth QB off the board, and then you're scrambling, and then you're going to look forward to a slew of articles about how Spencer Rattler is the absolute steal of the draft from every single journalist based in Denver, it will appear. And Spencer Rattler is absolutely not the steal of the draft. Just because he had a couple of half-decent throws in the Senior Bowl does not negate Spencer Rattler's college career to this point. So you need to be careful. But look, Carl, I think if it was you, if it was me, I would get the feeling if we're there at 12 and JJ McCarthy's still on the board at 7, I'd just do it, man. You know, give up something from next year. You know what I mean? It's like you have to do something eventually. You cannot keep pushing this down the line. And if McCarthy is gone and you feel comfortable enough trading back to say 19, 20, 21, 22, because you can get Nix there and you can pick up a second rounder, then go and do that as well. But, you know, I think to me, Colin, as I said earlier on, that is the only thing that's going to excite the fan base, because as it sits now, Jarrett Stidham is the Broncos QB1 in week 1. And, you know, with all due respect to Jarrett Stidham, like, he's a career backup, he's a journeyman. And, you know, we've already seen what the stadium looks like in December when meaningful football has kind of passed us by. And it's going to look like that in September if we're not careful, if the QB room is the same as it is now. And there's no answers really outside of that column. Like, you're looking at what, Jimmy G? Jesus Christ. You're looking at Ryan Tannehill, who's, you know, couple of years ago he looked like he was a good cutter. He's really fallen off a cliff in the last few years. There's nobody else. So you're looking at Jimmy G, you're looking at Ryan Tannehill, or you're looking potentially at a trade for Justin Fields. After that, the options are, you know, XFL still freely, let's be honest. So we have to drop a quarterback. It's just a question of where we get him.
Yeah, I know. I mean, the problem, as you say, is it's not like, could it change? Maybe. But it's not like, you know, even tanking doesn't give you the sort of maybe historic talent that you
this
want.
This was the year to tank, Cole. This was the year to tank.
Going yeah. To
the, draft. The year to tank is not next year.
And that's where the Broncos have gotten the trade deals all wrong. Like they've pulled the trigger at the wrong time. You acquired something for Judy, but this is a player who a year ago the Broncos were looking for a first plus, and you know you ultimately ended up with nothing for Justin Simmons. You know when. And I know the safety market has been depressed, particularly this off season. But had they been willing to like, what was last season about? Will we ever get an answer? Will we ever get an answer to the last few years? But like, what was the thinking last year, like, around the massive free agency spending splurge? And like, was it one final push to see what they could get out of Russ? But it would concern me a little bit that the level of delusion, I suppose, that was there. Now, I did see some nice stats in relation to Zach Allen, and particularly his pressure rate and getting to the QB. He was second only to Christian Wilkins, and the others on the list were Madubuike, Armstead, and Fletcher Cox. What I would say is he was the only one playing on a team with the fourth placed schedule. And so, yes, it's good. It is a positive sign. But the reality is that the others, you know, were in the Eagles' case, obviously first place schedule, the Dolphins, the Ravens, you're talking about second place, perhaps first in the Ravens, I'm trying to remember, 2022. But that's the piece, I suppose, that's the interesting one. But at least there's somebody on the defense getting some pressure there. So at this point, Stuart, I suppose we sit here, we are, what, 6 weeks out from the draft. I am totally on, I'm on board with what go up and take, right? If JJ McCarthy is there, unless, you know, I do think the issue could be that the Chargers might well be the willing to trade with the Vikings. And I think the Chargers are much less likely to trade with us. So it's a possibility that JJ McCarthy is gone by pick 5, at which point I do think you trade back and you acquire the QB later. I think after that, like, the Raiders, I don't see them taking a QB again. I don't see them taking QB 5 at 13. Like, it's difficult to see where the next group might take QB5, because the Saints, I doubt it, the Colts, the Seahawks, the Jags, the Bengals, the Rams, the Steelers, the Dolphins.
Oh, the irony, the Steelers, right.
Oh.
You know, I mean, why not? Like, we've kind of seen everything else. That would just be salt in the wounds.
Indeed. Was there anything else over the course of the week that caught your eye?
We've been quiet in free agency call. I quite like the two players we brought in. Jones, the safety from Miami, I think is a decent safety. He's not Justin Simmons, but yeah, I don't think the safety position is going to fall off a cliff. He's a good player. He's a solid player, and he seems to be in the ascendancy. And hey, it's great for a roach to be on the Denver Broncos. Finally, it's an unusual name in America, so I'm going to be automatically rooting for him. Like, we're trying to, well, I'm not going to get a jersey defensive tackle, let's be brutally honest, but a very good run stuffer, kind of a Mike Purcell replacement call, but it seems like he's an upgrade on Mike Purcell. I think we all kind of expected that DJ Jones would have been released. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen. There was a lot of heat in regards to him going back to the Niners, but that seems to have died down. But look, they're two good players. You know, again, I don't think they're necessarily going to set the pulses racing, but that's not to say that they're not going to contribute next season. I think they look like they will. You know, they're a good age. They've had one or two injury problems, but hopefully they can put them behind them. So they were decent pickups. So, you know, even though, as I said, it has been quiet, at least we've addressed a couple of important issues, in the sense that we've gotten a replacement sort of for Justin Simmons, because there is talk now that Jones could be moved over to strong safety, with PJ Locke going to free. But we did struggle a lot against the run, Colin. Our run defense really was very porous, especially in the second half of the season. So Roach should help sort of fix that. You know, and I think we lost Josie Jewell. But I think the contract he got from the Panthers, Colin, I wouldn't have been able to kind of justify us paying that to him. I think hopefully we can, you know, I think Joe's Griffith was signed early on, and that I think kind of let us kind of know what way the team was sort of thinking. And perhaps Drew Sanders, there was talk of him being moved outside linebacker for his pass rush. They might sort of reconsider that and move him back into middle linebacker, where he was the top ranked middle linebacker coming out of the draft last year by a huge amount of experts. So I think, you know, I know you're not a fan of changing a player's position when he gets to the NFL. It's hard enough to transition from college as it is. So perhaps we might see Sanders more back in the middle. He did struggle with his tackling at the start of the season, but he did improve as the year went on. So, I think, you know, most of the free agency moves, to me, Colin, like the players we released, the players we brought back, the players we signed, they've made sense. But I guess I kind of hope that we might make one significant signing, and up to this point we haven't really.
Yeah. If there's a plan, I'm okay with it, because I think ultimately
is there anything in the Broncos' recent history to suggest there's a plan?
Yeah, that's the issue. But I do go back. I'm trying to think if it was Parcells or Walsh who said that realistically there are 8 teams competing for Super Bowl every year. There might be an outlier every now and again, but that's it. And I think Kyle Shanahan updated it more recently. I heard Kevin Clark say he was talking to Kyle Shanahan, and he said that realistically, you got 6 or 7 teams that are, and by that I mean, look, everyone is trying to win, but they're going all in, and not just like Jerry Jones saying the Cowboys are going all in, only to not do any.
Well, that was the reason why they didn't make the Super Bowl last year. Their long snapping was really, you know, tailed off in the second.
Now, remember that also that the Cowboys are going into this season with their head coach in the last year of his deal and their quarterback in the last year of his deal. And not only is Dak in the last year, he has a no trade clause and a no tag clause. So Dak Prescott can walk away at the end of the season, and if he so chooses, if the Cowboys do not give him the deal he wants, and he would instantaneously become the top ranked free agent. So how would Sean Payton feel about that? I mean, that's a piece, you know, like, you know, could that be that Sean Payton, that Sean Payton's agent talks to Dak's agent and says, hey, you play out that deal in Dallas. Sean is waiting for you next March. Broncos will pay you whatever you want. Look, those things happen. You can talk to players, but we know agents and representatives and friends can talk. I am intrigued to see. Sean Payton is 60 years of age. He's not getting younger. He wants to win. I think if Sean Payton, you know, was to go to this ownership group and say, you know, we can get Dak, and as long as we can say to Dak's representatives, whatever the Cowboys offer you, we will beat that. Because the Cowboys they have no leverage here. Dak gets to walk away if he wants to. So that could be an interesting one potentially, but that would not be, again, you're talking about a wasted year, but certainly interesting to see, you know, how that plays out.
Pass it to the middle of the field again, which would be
kind of a rarity.
I mean that the thing is, Dak is a Sean Payton type of quarterback. He mm-hmm. plays in rhythm, he plays on time. You're not talking about a guy Drew Brees was not an incredible athlete in terms of running the football, but you wouldn't need to be. So look, it's just something that I suppose is in the back of my mind that could potentially happen. And I suppose that just came from, I think, you know, I do agree if we do go the route of the young QB, which I would prefer, then you need to put pieces around. But otherwise, if that's not happening, keep your powder dry, allow the money to roll over and let's see where we are. But it would mean yet another last season, another year in the wilderness. But equally, I mean, I would prefer no QB to Ryan Tannehill or to Jimmy Garoppolo. I just don't see any point whatsoever in going out into it. And like, again, the Raiders, they got Christian Wilkins. I think a very good move because I think Crosby is nearly underrated. But then they went and spent $15 million on Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew is a fun meme. Gardner Minshew was carried by the Colts to the verge of the playoffs last year. He did not bring the Colts there. Shane Steichen's play calling brought the Colts there. So I'm not entirely sure what they're doing. We're also seeing the Chargers finally kind of shed some of the deadwood. I put up on Twitter, and I believe it, I think the Chargers are a more dangerous roster with Mike Williams no longer there. I never understood the Mike Williams hype. He never once scared me as an opposing fan. And I think moving off of him makes sense. And they got a fourth for Keenan Allen, sending him to the Bears, a guy who's obviously has done damage to us over the years and at times, but he's at the tail end of his career, and they needed to give themselves some money. So I am interested to see how Harbaugh kind of goes about trying to fix them. I thought they would have possibly moved off of one of Joey Bosa or Mac. I think Bosa in particular has difficulty staying on the field, and that is not just last season. This is a recurring issue. I suppose free agency is not over as such. There's still guys out there. There's still people who can be signed. There's going to be plenty of kind of pro days and whatnot and shenanigans to go on over the next few weeks. So there'll be lots to keep an eye on. If you enjoy the podcast, please do rate, review, and subscribe. Or tell a friend about us. It makes a real difference. Short and I will be back next week. All that remains to be said is go Broncos.
Go Broncos.